the heading for my sermon this morning is God is about to make arrangements. Let me say that again. God, oh good, you guys got it. God is, oh, okay, is that what I said? Okay, why are we a little bit different? God is about to make arrangements. Can someone give me an amen? Come on, just build me up, okay? This is my first week back. So God is about to make arrangements. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. It's on the screen. I'm reading from the Message Bible this morning. I know I don't usually do that, but I just wanted to just really bring it down quite quickly. So I'm going to bring it to you from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, and then it goes to 19 to 20. And this is a story of Elkanah and Hannah. So I'll just go from verse, I'll go from, there was once a man who lived in Rathmain, don't go with the lines here. He was a descendant from old Zufa family, the Ephraim Hills, and his name was Elkanah. He had two wives, God bless him. He had two wives, the first was Hannah, the second was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, Hannah did not. And every year this man went from his hometown to Siho to worship and offer a sacrifice to the God of angels and armies. Eli and his two sons, Hophni, Phinehas, where are all my scholars? Who knows how to pronounce these names? Phinehas, served as the priest of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife Peninnah and all her children. But he always gave a special generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much. And because God had not given her children, but her rival wife taunted her cruelly. Who knows who's got a girlfriend like that in their life? But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on for year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. Her husband, Elkanah, said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? Why are you so upset? Am I not worth more than 10 sons?" So Hannah ate. And then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. And the priest Eli was on duty at the entrance of God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. "O God of the angels' armies, if you would take a good, hard look at my pain, if you will quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I will give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline." And so it happened that as she continued to pray before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was to be drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." Hannah said, "Oh no, sir, please. I am a woman hard used, and I've not been drinking, not a drop of wine. The only thing that I've been pouring out is my heart, and I've been pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think that I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here for so long." And Eli answered her, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him." And up before dawn, they worshipped God and returned to Ramah. Elkanah slept with his wife, Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, "I ask God for him." This morning I've come to tell you, I want to speak over this church this morning. I want to declare something over you. I want to speak something that you came to church this morning. Possibly it was a last minute decision. Possibly you've been having issues all week and that if you thought, you know what, I'll just catch up on life this week, but you didn't, you came to church. So I want to speak prophetically over you this morning that made a choice to come to church to be hearing the word of God. Right now, God is about to make arrangements, the necessary arrangements, in response to what you've come for. Can someone give me a mighty amen? You decided, you made a choice to say, you know what? I've got things that I could be doing, but I am going to get to the house of God. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to present myself and I'm going to... It doesn't matter in what motion you're feeling or what your circumstances been. The difference is that you made it to the house of God. And this morning I want to speak to you in just an encouragement and just saying that God is going to begin to make the necessary arrangements to see what you've been crying out to before God. How many of us can relate to the Hannah story? Maybe it's not been in regards to having a child, or maybe it possibly has been. But maybe it's been in the fact of a broken relationship. Maybe it's been in the fact of a broken family breakdown. Maybe it's been in your life story at university. But maybe sometimes it's just been a hard moment that you aren't understanding why God is allowing you to go through certain things. Maybe there's something that you've been going, God, why are you seeing? Why does it feel like I'm being neglected? What is happening when you can be doing something but you're choosing not to? How many times does it feel like God has just gone on vacation? And we're like crying out to God. We're sitting there, God, why have you not done something for me? And yet, all the time, who knows that when you're praying about something, everybody else is getting a breakthrough in that. Okay, church has gone real silent today. That's okay. You're begging and praying, and not necessarily begging but you're just believing God for marriage, and every person around you is getting married. You're asking God for a breakthrough with children, and you can't conceive, and something's happening, and every second person is getting pregnant and having children. You're seeing people that are just saying, you know what, I just saw this come. Everyone else is passing their exam, and you're doing everything and above and beyond, and yet you're seeing failure. How is it that we sit there and we go, God, why are you not seeing me with the favor? You seem to be seeing everybody else. How many Peninas do we have in our world that are constantly taunting us and reminding us? As Christians, we constantly hear it in work when I have parents. They're like, aren't you the Christian? Aren't you the one who's supposed to be strong? It's like we've got no, there's no approval for us to be able to go through hard times. But this morning I've picked Hannah's story because so often through our year, through our journey, we start to walk these chapters where we don't understand what God is doing. But I want to speak to you this morning that God is about to start working on those arrangements. I don't know what needs to come into place. I don't know what needs to still have to unfold in your life. But I want to speak that of this Sunday before Easter, let that be a memory to you. This Sunday before Easter, you can put down in your diary, that is the day that God started to proceed with my breakthrough. Can someone give me a name? Mighty amen. He said right there, it said, may God hear what you're saying. Eli, the man of God said, may God hear the cry of your heart. And then it began to say, as she began, they kept went and they went together, and God began making the necessary arrangements. Arrangements in response to what she was asking. I want to talk to you about three little points this morning. I could stay on this story for so long, but I just wanted three things that I felt that God said we need to be looking at. And Sunday night services at 6:30 tonight, there is an incredible teaching that Tawana's taking us through of just knowing how to put things in place. To open the room for God to just make it come to pass. See, oftentimes we're praying and we're begging God, but we're not doing anything to say, it's ready. I can receive this now, God. We just wanted God just to drop things in. It says, well, the Bible says, our verse for Sunday night service is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision. So there's a thing to say, I've got a vision, but are you putting your steps in place? And she's doing a great teaching on that. But this morning I want to talk about three things I want you to focus on from Hannah's story. The first thing I want to remind you is that sometimes you are so focused on how long God is taking that we completely forget that He is still the author and the finisher of your story. We are so worried about, oh God, this is taking so long, the length of time, that why isn't it happening? Why have I been praying? So many times people are going and going, I've been praying for this for years, I've been praying for this for months, I've been praying for this, and I never see it happen. But somehow we have decided that the length of what is happening is going to determine if God is doing it or God is not going to do it. I want to tell you this morning that Hebrews chapter 12 says this, look at this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, He's the one who will bring it to completion. He's going to say, I'll start it and I'll finish it. If you've got a desire in your heart to see God come and see God move, then let me tell you, that is all you need to know. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let me remind you of that scripture on Friday night when we're seeing all the visual things of what Jesus went through when he went to the cross. I would not see the pictures of Calvary and think of joy. That are not two words that come to my mind when I see what my Jesus, my Savior, had to go through and think, oh, that is such great joy. Is anyone else in ICC feeling the same way? But Paul said, you've got to understand this, that you've got to understand that he's the author and the finisher. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So there's got to be something about the chapter that you're in. There's got to be something about what you're enduring that is set before you that is going to be about joy. There is something about this hardship, this challenge, because he was saying the cross is coming, but you're going to have joy in it. Now, when I look at the pictures of Jesus, when I read the scriptures of what Jesus endured, I don't see jumping up and down for joy. But when I began to research what the word joy means, and I haven't been able to get it because I was just reading it this morning, the Greek version for this word joy is actually a completion. It's actually a salutation, as in like a goodbye. So what he's actually saying is that the author and the finisher of your faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the one who was bringing joy and completion is the exact same word here. Despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of his Father. Paul says, you got to look at this chapter with two things in mind. Jesus is the author and the finisher of this story. Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of this story. And joy, the word joy means a cause for an occasion. When there's a cause for an occasion, there's usually set up with joy. How can the hardest thing that you're going through be a cause for an occasion of celebration? But see what Paul said, it's because it's not finished here. He said, it will despise shame. Your chapter, your hardship, the cry of your heart, when God brings it to completion, it will despise all the shame the enemy is trying to bring. See, the enemy is trying to make you feel humiliated. The enemy is trying to make you feel less valuable. But when you allow God to bring it to its completion, Paul says it will despise the shame that has attached itself through this story. And sitting at the right hand, you know what that's talking about? It's talking about God giving you honor in the physical realm. So Paul's saying, listen, you got to see this the way Jesus saw it. Even when he was enduring the cross, he realized that his story hadn't finished. And the fact is that he knew that he had to go through Friday. Because if Sunday's going to start to happen, if we're going to start to see that Sunday is truly the day that we sit and we take everything that we walk as in Christian life, we sit and we hold on to the resurrected King. He said, you've got to understand that no matter what God is going to do, he's the author and he's the finisher, and it will despise shame. And you will be given honor through this situation. So what I want to tell you this morning is the first thing I want you to remember is the length of time. Recognize that the length of time of the problem has existed does not determine the likelihood of a breakthrough. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The Bible frequently shares the people's, when they're sharing the testimony, tells us about the lady with a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible tells us for 38 years the man was laid down before the pool at the gate. The other man was laid at the gate. Beautiful. The other one was laid for 38 years in front of the pool waiting to go down. The woman with the blood issue, she was there for 12 years. 18 years with the woman that had the spirit of infirmity. 90 years, Abraham and Sarah's story. Elizabeth, 88, before she sees her miracle. And this is Hannah's story, and it's going on for years and years and years. Let me tell you, the length of your prayer is not determining the conclusion of what you're seeing. Can someone give me an amen? Just because it feels like it's tarrying, you know what the scripture scripture says, though it feels like it tarries, it will not tarry. See, why is God showing us through all these scriptures, through all these testimonies? We love to read that the fact of the woman holds on to the hem of his garment and there's instantly healing. But do you know what she had to endure for 12 years? Do you know you had to understand the shame that she had to go through? Do you have to understand the fact that she was humiliated and despised between everybody around her? She had to endure that for 12 years. So when God says, I want her story to be written in the book, I want you to understand that it's not just perhaps, let me just tell you about a woman. I want you to know that her story, though it took time, it came to a place where you would see the conclusion through the healing of what God had promised. God is specific in saying, he's a man and for 38 years. He's a woman and she's for 38 years. And there's a husband and a wife and for 90 years. And there's another husband and they go for 88 years. And Hannah for years and years and years, because the length does not determine God gonna do it or God's not gonna do it. Your breakthrough is coming. Trust God and you still be serving and see him to the very end. He said what he starts, he's gonna finish. You and I are reading their testimonies, including the years of suffering that they went through. I want to tell you, this is what Calvary is about. This is what the whole week of Easter is about. Something in the physical realm looked like it was over. It looked like Jesus had been doing all this great stuff, but all of a sudden it was going to be over. It was going to be finished. It looks like there's nothing that can change. But you know what? This is what Easter's all about. This is what Easter's all about. That it's not over until God says it's over. It feels like it's dead. It feels like it's over. It feels like it's never going to change. It feels like the enemy has won the victory. But this is what Easter's about. What you see with your physical eye, but what you know in your spirit is happening are very, very different things. Can someone give me a mighty amen? This week, I want to speak this over you, because this week is the week you and I will walk in and understand that what you're seeing is different to what God is actually doing. When you walk and you read those stories, you're like, that's your Jesus, that one who was crucified. Yeah, but let me tell you what happened on the Sunday, because that's the God that I serve. We have to be understanding that the very fact that Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb was there because he saw death. Easter is about the fact that we no longer have to endure death. That's what Easter is about. Easter is about the fact that you and I have to no longer endure the death. See, when a Christian knows God and they're looking at death's door, there's a joy, because they realize that they're actually going home. So the enemy wants us to be held on to the clinch and the ugliness of death. But when we know who our Father is, when we know that Savior, when we understand what Easter is actually all about, we can start rejoicing. Because you know what we've understood? That even though the death is present, even though it feels like it's not happening, even though it feels like it's not going to change, it means that God is still in this, and it means that I can see that he is still doing his story. Can someone give me a mighty amen? The very fact that Jesus allowed himself to go through Easter was to do this, was to conquer death. The only thing was to do was to realize to conquer death. Let me tell you what the word conquer means. The word conquer is a military word used to inform the enemy that you are about to take control. Do you have that up there? No, the next one. The word conquer is a military word used to inform the enemy that you're arriving and you're about to take control. That's what the word conquer means. So when you say, I'm about to go in and conquer that, it says, despite everything that I'm seeing, everything that I'm feeling, I'm about to let you know that I'm coming in, I'm walking in, and I'm about to take over. That's what the enemy said, what God is saying. I want you to understand that you have been called, what does the scripture say? More than conquerors. He's saying, I want to establish in you the character that you understand that when you're being faced with trials and tribulations, you need to walk out your position in this. You need to understand who you are. See, the Bible says that I'm a conqueror. The Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror. So he says, I want you to walk into the situation and understand that I've actually got to go into my situation. I got to go into my challenge and say, listen, enemy, shame, disbelief, discouragement, failure. I'm walking in, but I'm walking in to take over what you were trying to bring me down with. He says, I'm stepping in as a conqueror. It's a military word that was used to say, basically, guess what? The battle's about to be over. We're conquering this land. We're taking over this land. This is our territory. And God's saying, I've called you to be more than conquerors. I want you to take that opportunity and begin to realize that says, Paul says to him, you are more than conquerors. This is where God says, you need to step up. Do you know who he is? If he's the author and the finisher, where in this chapter are you stepping in and going, it's time for me to take on over what you've taken over from me? You've allowed shame, you've allowed disbelief, you've allowed hurt. You've been crying it out for years. You've been going before God and saying, God, why? And there's a season where God is about to say, you are more than a conqueror. Use it without fear. God says, use it without fear. Use it without fear, because God says, that's where I'm taking you. It's time for you to learn to take it over. Your story is not done yet. It's still in the writing processes. It's still in the writing processes. God is still writing this out. Sometimes he lifts his pen up because he's like, you know what? She hasn't got a revelation just yet. So he holds it up and he's like, but he's not sitting there and going, well, let me just put that away. He will never close the book on you. He'll lift up his hand and go, I'm not writing that chapter down. That's not part of her story. That's not part of what she's going through. I'll lift this up, because every time God puts pen to paper, as your story begins to unfold and he starts to write it out, it's going to see victory over victory over victory over victory. It's going to see healing. It's going to see the prayers answered. And that's when God will start to rewrite your story. The second thing I want you to think about this morning is the word truth. Now, just stick with me with this one. Truth. I'm asking you this. What is the truth about your story? What is the truth for you? You need to be anchored in what is true, because what is true is only truth for you. You can be sold out on your truth and it could be completely different for me. But I have to ask you this. You need to be sold out for what is true for you. Stick with me with this. I'm asking you, do you actually believe that God can do it? Is that truth to you? Do you actually 100% in all the tears, in all the brokenness, in all the shame, do you actually believe that God can do this? Is that truth for you? Do you believe that God is actually going to finish what he has started? Is that sold out truth for you? Because we need to establish what is true inside of you or not. We need to understand, do you really get? Because what you have to understand is your belief in the truth is defining what you are seeing. Your belief in your truth is defining what you are seeing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it's taking way too long. I understand that God is able to heal, but maybe he won't do that this time. What is the truth that you are going to be sold out for, no matter how long it takes? What is the truth for you? Do you actually believe that God is going to finish this chapter with victory stamped on it? Because what you have to understand is the truth that you believe is defining what you see. Because what you believe, you will accept. And when you accept it, you're going to receive it, and you will see the fruit of that truth. Let me say that again. When you believe it, because it's truth to you, you'll begin to accept it, which means that you will begin to see it, and you will see the fruit of that truth. And the situation you're seeing or facing is not defining your destiny. This is not defining your destiny. Your story is still being written. God spoke to Sarah while she was barren. While she was barren, he spoke to her and he said to her, out of you will come kings. Now you choose which truth you want to believe in. She spent a moment in laughter, which is what actually we would do. But there was something inside of her that kept taking her with her husband into a moment of prayer. See, God, in the middle of her barrenness, he spoke out to her and he said, out of you will come kings and queens. He spoke to the people of Israel and he said, as they were wandering in the way, he said, I'm going to take you to a promised land. In the middle of their desert season, in the middle of their wandering, in the middle of what they felt were going to end here, God says, I can see your situation, but I'm taking you to the promised land. There's a choice that you have to make right now. What is the truth for you? God spoke to the woman with the issue of blood, and he turned around and he said to her, one, he said, who touched me? And she's not going to answer back, but he said, I'm not moving because who touched me? And then she comes forward and she says, I touched you. And then he said, your faith has made you well. There's no proof of it, though. But she has to walk away going, I walked to Jesus. I touched his garment. He spoke over my life. This is what's going to happen. It was truth for her. There was no evidence. There was nothing to say, oh, I can feel it. There's a change. She had to go back home. And in that journey back home, there had to be moments of truth. I believe that Jesus is here. I believe that was my faith that took me in my humiliation, in my despise. I walked through the crowd. I crumbled and I sat there, but I touched Jesus and he said he would heal me. And that is what has happened. What is your moment of truth? You've got to be sold on. What is truthful to you? See, what is truth? The dictionary defines the word truth as an indisputable fact. The truth, the word truth in the dictionary means it's an indisputable fact or a character of being true. So let me ask you this. Truth is an indisputable fact for you, which means that is your reality. So if it's an indisputable fact, it's your reality. That is what is going to come to pass. Because once you believe it, you'll expect it. Once you expect it, you will see the fruit of it. So I'm asking you this morning, what is truth for you? See, because Psalm 25:5 says, lead me to the truth and teach me, Lord. John 8:32 said, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. God's saying to you, you got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. It's got to become truth to you. You've got to be sold out. It doesn't matter the length of time. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter what you're seeing and what you're hearing. You can go to a doctor and hear a certain report, but the truth is sitting in here. And I know what I'm hearing and I know what I'm seeing, but there's a truth that outweighs what you're saying to me right now. It weighs in heavier than what you're saying. Your spoken word is awesome, but I serve a God who I honor, and the word honor means to weigh in. So what the word of God says weighs heavier than what I'm seeing in my report card. Can someone give me a mighty amen? See, she saw the failure, but she saw the God that said, I will take you through. He said, I will supply all your needs. That's what you heard testified here. But she's like, but I'm seeing a failure. But who weighs in heavier? The word honor means to weigh in. That's what the word honor means. It means that whatever you honor brings more weight inside of you. So if I honor, the word of God says, I honor my mother and my father, means that you can all come and tell me that I don't think you're good for this. But what my parents will speak, because I honor them, that carries more weight in my life because I bring honor to them. The word of God says, so I honor the word of God. The word of God says, come. The word of God says, sit. The word of God says, trust. That brings in more weight than what I'm actually seeing physically unfold. Are you here with me, ICC? It's truth for me. See, because the truth is indisputable. It's indisputable. See, the truth is that God says that he will supply all my needs. It's indisputable that God said, I will heal you. I will touch you. I will comfort you. I will never abandon you. Is that truth to you? Do you know that God will actually never, ever abandon you? And I want you to understand that due to the length of time, this is not an outcome of this is going to happen or not. See, in Ephesians 6, when I just read it, it says, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, which means the truth is part of the armor of God. He asks you to place it on. But while you're placing on the helmet, while you're placing on the boots, when you're placing, he said, there is a belt which is going to be, and it's at the waistband. It's going to carry you. This is here. This is the strongest part. everything from here, it's going to, it's the waistband. God says, it's at the center of everything. At the center of everything is the truth. Because you determine what is truthful right here, right now. And he said, fasten the belt of truth. See, armor is to protect you from attacks. That's why you wear armor. Otherwise, if you're not going to a battlefield, you do not go to work and you just armor yourself up. You don't do that. You only go to armor yourself up when you're going into battle. The attack is focusing on what seems to be a reality. So what God is saying, he said, I want you to put the belt of truth on. Because what you're about to see is going to contradict what you're feeling and seeing. Reality says this. The truth says this. Are you here this morning? The reality shows that you are this, this, and this. Reality shows that this cannot happen. The reality shows that you're not going to see this come to pass. The truth is that my God will supply all my needs. That my God said he will heal me. That my God says he will take me. That my God said that is the truth. And he said, put it on your waistband. Let it carry you through. The reality of the servant that was taking her dead son to the prophet. The reality is there's a dead baby in her arms. The truth is what she said, it is well. To her, the truth was, I was given a child and this is not how the story is going to end. So she was saying, reality is I've got a dead child. But when she spoke it out, she kept saying, it is well. Reality always contradicts what God wants to show you. Paul, in prison, in the darkest hours of his life, he writes the book of Philippians. In the hardest season, in the hardest moments of his walk, he writes Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I have fought the good fight. Because you know what? He's speaking out of a place of truth, not of what he's seeing. In a prison cell, you write, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In a prison cell? Is that what you say? We are not saying that. But he was speaking out of a place that was truthful to him. And it was undisputable. Even in a prison cell, it was undisputable. The last thing I want to speak to you is this, as if time has gone through, is the fact of you need to be prophetic. Through all of Hannah's story, through all of her crying, through all of her hardship, through all of her tears, through all of her humiliation, where was she? She was in the temple. She was in the presence of God. She was there. And what happened is a moment in her absolute despair, a man of God spoke into her life. And that's where it was broken. You need to understand, you've got to start being prophetic. You've got to start seeing this as it is. See, in everything she was going through, she still went year after year. See, Elkanah didn't have to take her to the temple because there was nothing to sacrifice on her behalf. There were no children. But he took her. What is he doing? He's being prophetic. He's calling those things that are not as though they are. He heard of Abraham. He was from the lineage of Abraham. He's like, you know what? You're coming with me. Hannah, you're coming with me. We are going to bring a sacrifice to the kingdom of God. We are going together. Yes, Peninnah's coming. Yes, we have got something to give, but you are still coming with me because there's a promise that has not finished yet and God is going to do what he promised. Can someone give me a mighty amen? Why don't we all just stand as I call the worship team back up? You have to understand that you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision this morning that you will make a choice. See, this morning you made a choice to come, to be in the house of God. You put things aside, you took things away, and you said, I'm going to be in the house of God. And I've spoken a word over you to understand this. You have to place yourself in a position. You have to start to begin to believe, God, I'm trusting you. I'm walking this out with you. I'm going to start to prepare. You know, I was sharing about 2-3 years ago when we were doing some renovations here at the church. I was going to share. The room just down here, it was an office that I used to spend time in. And one lady came in, and she came in with three children. And with the three children, she came in, she had a baby. We just followed her up like we do for everyone. And she said, oh, look, we love the church, we love everything about it, but just our kids disturb, so we're not going to we won't be able to come because that was too little to go into kids' church. And the Holy Spirit spoke on our senior pastor's heart, and my, there's nowhere for the babies to go. So we made, right there and then, provision. We turned that office into a baby's room. Do you want me to count how many babies we've got in our church right now? Because we started to say, God, we're making provision. We're being prophetic. There was no babies in our church. There was no babies in our church. That would be the dumbest thing, is to build a baby room. We needed that space. It was our counseling room. It was an office. It was everything. But you know what was more important than that? It was to bring in families into ICC and to let them feel loved and welcomed and have a place for their children and their babies. Now, that room's filled. I think there's even a TV in there. Hello. Oh, the baby's in there. Amen. And I've seen more people fall pregnant. Okay, if you just want to, this is it. In ICC now because of it. Because we've made provision. We said, God, with not one child in our church, we're building a baby's room. Once you build it, God will fulfill it. Once the vision is there, he'll bring the provision. I know there's something simple and some, but it's truth. It's truth. To us, it was truth. I don't know what it is for you, but we began to move and just began to be prophetic. God, you're going to bring in families here. You're going to bring in families here. You're going to bring in families. You're going to bring in children. Well, God says, what's the point of bringing them in? There's nowhere for them to go. So we had to start making provision and making a place. I want you to start to realize that Hannah made a choice. She made a choice right there and then. As much as I'm broken, as much as I'm hurting, as much as this is heavy, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to go. And I wonder if she was so, so desperate that she really didn't care who saw her anymore. The Bible says that she walked away because I wonder how much her brokenness was. Who knows what the ugly cry looks like? But who knows that God wants you to do that ugly cry at the altar? That's where he wants you to do that ugly cry. Broken before him. Being prophetic. God, I'm still worshiping you. 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 This is my heart. This is my prayer. This is the cry of my heart. But I'm still worshiping you. I'm still in the house of God. 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 Do you know how much the enemy is trying to get you out of the house of God? But you're still here. There's no answered prayer. There's still no healing. There's still no breakthrough. There's still no miracle. But I'm in the house of God. I'm in the house of God. Because in the house of God, where two or three are gathered in my name, there he'll be. What happens in unity, we combine, we confess, we speak out, we lift each other up. Hannah just kept going to the temple, kept going year after year after year after year. See, 1 year later, it was time for her to bring a sacrifice. Are you ready to bring a sacrifice? Are you ready? Are you making provision? Are you taking steps? Tonight, Tawana's talking about bad habits, how to get rid of those bad habits. I'm telling you. And you're going to hear an amazing testimony tonight. An amazing testimony. You know why? Because reality to this couple that are speaking tonight is one thing, but truth is another thing. Defying all odds, defying all odds, they are going to give a testimony. That's their story. Your story is still being written. Your story is still being said. Just be prophetic. Be prophetic. Start it. Start doing it. Start changing. Why don't you just close your eyes this morning? If you have been so fixated on the length, could you lift your hand before the God this morning? Because I want to break that off you. If you're so fixated, God, I've been waiting so long and it's not happening. I want to break that off you. I want to break that. And in the name of Jesus, I want you to just feel freedom. That it doesn't matter how long it takes. Your truth is sold out to the fact that God is going to bring a completion to this. If that's you, lift your hands. Amen. Come on, just lift them up. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's like, God, I've been looking at that time frame. I've been looking at it. It has been weighing on my spirit. Amen. Look at all those hands. We're just going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, the Bible says that you are not limited to time. So you don't work with our time. You don't work in 24-hour clocks, Lord God. You speak of history. You speak of future. You speak of time being something that is your in your hands. So, Father, I speak right now over every hand that is lifted is saying, God, I want to be free from the weight of the length. I don't care how long it takes anymore. As of this Sunday before Easter, I'm going to be free to just let God do whatever he's got to do in the timing that God is God. I don't care how long it takes. I know that God is going to bring it to completion. And what I feel is supposed to happen doesn't make anything. It's got no weight in it because I trust in the God that I serve. Lord, I tell you right now, Father, that we are right now in the hands of you. Lord God, we're trusting in you. We're anchored in you. Father, we know that the time frame that we place may not be the perfect time, but in Jesus' name, I declare freedom from that lie of the enemy. I declare freedom from that lie of the enemy that says because it's taking so long, it's never going to happen. That is a lie. That is a lie. That is a lie. God is writing your story. He's not finished your story. Let us just be free, Holy Spirit, of just the thing that is taking so long, because our story is so much greater than the chapter that we're in. Jesus, we declare that we see it through your eyes. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. We prophetically speak in faith. Could you do that, ICC? Could you start to prophetically speak it out? It's just faith. It's just faith. But it's being prophetic. And God spoke to Abraham, without children, call those things that are not. He said, because I'm calling you to be a father of many nations. He said, I'm calling you to be a father of many nations. So start calling those things that are not as though they're, start acting as if they're there. Just keep your hands lifted, those. But if this morning, if you are not sure about the truth, you're not sure. You don't know the truth is actually the truth. Are you sold out that God is going to heal you? Are you sold out that God's going to restore you? Are you sold out that God is going to bring this to pass? Are you sold out? Can that this morning be an indisputable truth on your life this morning? That as of this Sunday, you're going to stop talking about the maybes and the wishes and the hopefulness. And you're going to start speaking that until I see this come to pass, I'm holding on to God. I'm anchored in God. I'm going to see this through with God. That's going to be the truth. What is the truth going to be for you this morning? Is it going to be that you're standing here before God at ICC saying, God, I know that you are going to heal me from the inside out, from the outside in. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it no matter what I see physically, no matter what I see in the physical realm. I know that there is healing for me. I know that God is going to bring restoration to me. I know that. I know that. I know that. You can even taste it. That's how real it is to you. It's truth, it's truth, it's truth, it's truth, it's truth to you. Let me tell you, it's got to be truth, it's got to be truth. And I want you to start to be prophetic. Because once you realize it's truth, you can start to speak it out. God, I speak it out. Speak it out this morning. Speak it out.